We're going to talk about music you may not have heard of before, go-go music. And a man by the name of Robert Reed, the keyboardist for go-go pioneers Trouble Funk, died last week of pancreatic cancer. This got us all kind of thinking, go-go music. What is go-go music? Some of us here at the BPP had never heard of it before. Those who did, well, they probably spent a good chunk of their time in Washington, D.C., because go-go was the local sound of our nation's capital. And back when the scene was at its hottest in the late 70s and early 80s, Robert Reed's band Trouble Funk was right there in the spotlight. They made at least one classic, the album Drop the Bomb, and they got signed by a major label, Island Records. And while go-go never really broke out of the greater D.C. area, the scene has kept on keeping on in the District of Columbia. And to help us parse through a little bit of the history of the go-go movement, we've called in Kip Lornell. He's a music professor at George Washington University and the co-author of the book The Beat. Hi, Kip.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So we found a promo video for a movie about go-go music that includes the equation soul plus funk plus drums plus power equals go-go. How does that stack up as an accurate calculation for what makes go-go?
I think that's very accurate. These days you could also add hip-hop, because when that movie was made in 1985, hip-hop really wasn't incorporated in go-go very much. And the other thing to add is the influence of the clave beat, which was introduced into go-go by way of a lot of the percussionists from the Caribbean, a lot of whom were attending Howard University in the 1960s and 1970s. So that add that mix together and you've got go-go in the 1970s with Trouble Funk.
We have got a little short clip here that can illustrate what is, as I understand, the basic building block of go-go. Let's listen. So is that pretty accurate? Is that the fundamental building block of this music?
It is indeed, and one of the nice things and interesting things and powerful things about go-go is that you always have live percussionists, and you usually have three different percussion sets going at once. You have your typical drum trap set. Mm-hmm. You usually have conga drums, and a lot of times you also have timbales, and that's where the influence of the Caribbean musicians come in. And that's one of the things that also sets go-go apart from almost any kind of contemporary hip-hop is the live aspect of it and also the live percussionists.
And this is really a D.C. thing, right? This is the kind of beat that we could hear if you're walking around clubs and parties, certain neighborhoods in Washington, D.C., especially in that era, the 70s and 80s?
Well, you know, if you go to two different parts of Washington, D.C. today on Thursday, the 24th of April, if you go down near the mall, you will probably find one or two percussionists who are playing on homemade percussive instruments playing go-go beats, as well as by the DuPont Metro stop.
I know that DuPont Metro stop.
Yes, indeed. There's frequently folks there, and also near Freedom Plaza, right, ironically, very close to the Ronald Reagan Trade Building.
Huh.
You will also find percussionists there, especially on nice days. So the go-go beat has not left Washington, D.C. by any means.
Also, when the Supreme Court's not in session, I hear Scalia and Ginsburg like to jam
Get
out.
Get down.
You cannot imagine how funky those guys are when they take their robes off.
I want to talk a little bit specifically about Trouble Funk. Robert Reed, as we mentioned, who just recently passed away, he played with Trouble Funk, and this was one of D.C.'s best-known and longest-running go-go groups. Before we talk about Trouble Funk, let's listen to a little bit of one of their songs from their album, which was a big hit, Drop the Bomb. This is the title track to that.
Wait, what was the name of that song?
There's a little repetition.
I like it. It's awesome, actually.
Let's talk about Trouble Funk, Kip. They started playing in the 60s, right? What did they sound like when they were just starting out?
You know, I have no idea, because there is no documentation of Trouble Funk, really, before they became influenced by go-go in the mid-1970s.
Huh.
I'm not aware of any earlier recordings than that, so every Trouble Funk track I have ever heard has been one that is go-go influenced.
Let's listen. We do have another track of something that's a little more go-go'd out. This is called Good to Go. Let's take a listen. Everyone in the BPP studios getting their funk on. This is a band that was really at the forefront of this moment when go-go really could have exploded, right? Trouble Funk got signed to a pretty major label, but they never really took off. What happened?
Well, I think a couple things happened. I must say, aesthetically, the records that they did for Island in the mid to late 1980s are probably their weakest albums. The other problem is that the film that was done by Island Records that you played the trailer from earlier mm-hmm. was really not very good.
Oh, that's always a problem.
It upplayed the violence aspect of street life in Washington, D.C., downplayed the musical part of it. The nice thing about the film, and I use that in my classes sometimes, is that there are three or four musical performances that last maybe 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Those are really, really good.
Hmm.
And that's the best part of the film. And the other thing to think about with Go-Go is it is clearly best experienced live and probably best experienced in a club in the Washington, D.C. area because people know what they're supposed to do. They know the kind of shout-outs. They know what part of town they're from. And a lot of times they know the musicians themselves. So it's very much of a D.C. personal thing that I do not think translates very well to sound recordings, unfortunately.
If you say their albums with Island were the weakest, is that because the guys at the record label tried to water them down or add whatever popular synth sounds were going on then or said, oh, we love what you got, but also add this that isn't your sound? Was that the reason?
Or were they just in a slump?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's whoever was the A&R person who oversaw it tried to make them into a very generic black pop funk-oriented band, and it really lost a lot of the aesthetics of go-go. The percussion was downplayed. The real energy that you found in a lot of go-go performances, especially the live ones, that translated fairly well to records, were really also downplayed.
Because it is possible to do it. I mean, Parliament Funkadelic is great live and has great albums, but you have to be true to what the sound that they're doing is.
And that's the thing that also is a problem with go-go is that the aesthetic for go-go, much like Parliament Funkadelic, and George Clinton and the boys really do have a strong affinity for go-go, and there's a lot of congruence between the performance practices, especially on stage, between Parliament Funkadelic and almost any go-go band, is that they like to play the songs long.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is there's not a lot of very well-crafted go-go songs, per se. So if you try to make a song like Good to Go, which really works exceptionally well in a live performance, melt that down to about 2.5 or 3, maybe 3.5 minutes of a radio-friendly format, it simply doesn't work very well. And that's another problem. And the aesthetics are such is that the band don't want to have those radio-friendly lengths because it's just not what they're used to because they make their living not from sound recording sales, but you can hear go-go literally every night of the week in 2 or 3 clubs in Washington, D.C. in 2008.
Hmm. I want to ask you, Kip, you mentioned that part of the reason that it never really exploded as it could have was because it was linked fairly or unfairly to a lot of the violence happening in D.C. at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit more of that? What was going on? What was the context of this music? And were there some racial elements?
Yeah, race clearly plays a part of it, as does the Trouble part of it. What was happening in the mid-1980s when Trouble Funk and Chuck Brown and EU were probably at their height of popularity, let's say 1985 to 1990. This was also a time when Love Boat crack cocaine use was plaguing America. And there was a great association between music like this, you know, lower class, blue-collar, black American music with violence. The fact is the violence occurred on the streets. It doesn't happen very often in go-go clubs, but what the city council tried to do in 1988 and 1989 was to literally ban go-go from live clubs, to shut down all of the clubs. And there was Frank Smith, who was the city council chair at the time, I believe, introduced several resolutions that would have closed down all the go-go clubs in town because too violent, too much bad stuff happening there, when in fact it was happening all over the place and on the streets and not really in the clubs.
So we can't really talk about go-go without mentioning Chuck Brown, right? He's called the godfather of this movement.
Indeed.
But he's more than that, right? Let's listen, before we have a conversation about him, let's listen to a song by Chuck Brown called We Need Money. What was Chuck Brown's influence on this music, and how did he help keep it alive for the past decades?
Well, I think probably like Bill Monroe, Chuck Brown is one of the few people you can identify in the 20th century and point to and say, yeah, this person really put all these elements together and started this form of music. Chuck was playing with some of the Latino bands around. He was playing in funk bands and blues bands and jazz bands in the D.C. area from the 60s through the early 70s when he put this formula together circa 1973, 1974, and he's really been using that formula to one degree or another since that time. He's a exceptionally good guitar player, good singer, but he's really been... The ability to synthesize all those things into one sets him apart from all the other musicians, and he keeps going at it, too. And he's now early 70s.
And as you mentioned, this is something you can go to D.C. Today, and you could hear this music. It's thriving. There are new bands on the scene. There's one group called Mambo Sauce, and we've got a little clip of a song by them. Hey, that sounds a little different. Go-go kind of evolving, Kip.
Go-go is evolving largely due to two factors. One is the influence of hip-hop in general, because if you listen to a group like Backyard, which is very influenced by hip-hop, and the person, Big G, who is the leader of that, is a charismatic guy who is also one of the recurring characters on The Wire, the late-lamented HBO series. Also, there has been more of a movement to, among the bands themselves, to really try to become more mainstream in terms of the aesthetics, looking at songwriters, looking at other trends in black American music outside Washington, D.C. Whether it will be successful, because this has been tried before, is uncertain. But the sound of go-go from 1975 to 2008 has changed some. But I guarantee if you heard Trouble Funk now and heard them in 1975 and compare those recordings, it would not be tremendously different. But the newer groups clearly are incorporating other elements.
Hey, Kip, we appreciate it. Kip Lornell is a music professor at George Washington University. He's also the co-author of the book, The Beat. Hey, we appreciate you giving us that assisted listen. Thanks very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
I've learned some things about go-go music.
I learned that I want a job titling go-go songs. The Bryant Park Project is directed by Jacob Gans and edited by Trish McKinney. Our technical director is Manoli Weatherall.
Staff includes Dan Pashman, Ian Chilog, Wynn Rosenfeld, Angela Ellis, Caitlin Kenny, Nathan Duell, Zena Barakat, and Jeannie Barron. Laura Conaway edits our website and our blog. Newscaster Mark Garrison, senior producer Matt Martinez, Sharon Hoffman. I'm Rachel Martin. That's Mike
Pesca.